At this point in the daily procedure in the Beis HaMikdash, the double doors to the Heichal, which is the building of the Beis HaMikdash, have been opened. The Kohen who was selected to perform the first service inside the Heichal was given the honor to open the doors to the Heichal. And once he had done that, he would go on to clean the ashes off of the Mizbeach, which stood inside the Heichal. So Misha Zoch B'dishim Mizbeach Panimi, the one who merited and received this job, this service of cleaning the ashes from the inner Mizbeach, the one which stood in the Heichal, Nichnas, he would enter into the Heichal, although he already stood in the Heichal, because he had opened the doors from the inside. However, as we learned, there were actually two sets of doors that he had to open. The walls to the Heichal, to the building of the Beis HaMikdash, were very, very thick, roughly 3 meters thick, and there was an entire area in the middle of those walls where the doors were. There were doors on either end, at the beginning of the thickness of the walls and at the end of the thickness going into the Heichal. The area in between that is called the Ulam. Be it as it may, the Kohen who had opened the doors to the Heichal had then continued to walk through the Ulam until he reached the entrance of the Ulam, where it meets the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and he opened those doors as well. And that's why the Mishnah says again over here he would enter into the Heichal from the Ulam, where he had opened both sets of doors. Manotel Ateni, and he takes the basket which he would use to put the ashes into it, Vehenicho Lefonov, and he placed the basket down on the floor in front of him in the Heichal next to the Mizbeach, Vehochofein Venosin Asechei. And he would take, using his handful, ashes from the Mizbeach and place them into the basket. And at the end, when there aren't that many ashes left, he would clean all of the rest of the ashes remaining. He would perform one last sweep of the ashes, and he placed the basket down on the floor, and he left the Heichal. We're going to learn about the continuation of this later on in the sixth perek, where this basket is taken out together with the jug which contains the ashes from the menorah. These two containers of the ashes are taken out of the Heichal together, and that's why for now this basket is left on the floor of the Heichal. After which, Misha Zocha B'dishna Menorah, the Kohen who received the service of cleaning out the Menorah, Nichnas, he would enter into the Heichal, and now the Mishnah goes on to describe how he would perform this act of cleaning out the Menorah. Umotza Shnei Neiris Mizrachim Dolkim, are going to translate this to mean, if he found the two most eastward lamps of the Menorah still alight. The true definition for a ner, when it comes up in the Mishnais, is the lamp, really the thing which holds the wick and the oil. Of course, in the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't use wax candles, they used oil and wicks to light. The term ner refers to the thing which held the oil and the wick. Now, it is learned from Sukkim that the cleaning out of the lamps of the menorah must be done in two separate parts. And the language of the pasuk which teaches this implies that each part of the cleaning must involve multiple lamps. It uses the term neiros, which is the plural for lamp, and therefore at least two lamps need to be left to be cleaned in the second part, really, of the cleaning process of the menorah. And the truth is, they specifically left out only two, so they would clean out five of the lamps and clean the remaining two later on. And the reason for this is because the second lamp along from the east was miraculous in that it remained alight all the way until the evening. The following day, the actual menorah was lit in the evening. It remained alight until the following evening, such that the Kohen who lit the menorah would be able to take the light from that particular light, which had been lit the previous day, and use it to get the fire to light the rest of the lights for the upcoming day. This was called the Ner HaMa'aravi, the western lamp, literally. Even though it was actually on the east side, it was west of the first lamp to the east, because it was the second one along, and therefore it's called the Ner HaMa'aravi. And this was a sign that Hashem's presence rested in the Beis HaMikdash and amongst the Jewish people. The truth is that this miracle did not last for the entire period of the Beis HaMikdash. However, because this lamp had extra significance, they would still make sure to perform the cleaning process in two parts, such that they would leave this lamp and the one next to it at the edge of the menorah to clean in and of themselves in the second part of the cleaning process. So the Mishnah said that if these two lamps, which would be part of the second part of the cleaning process, were still alit since the previous night, then Medashnes Sasha'ar, he would clean out the rest of the lamps. Even if some of those were alit, they would be extinguished so that he could clean them. Umaniyachas Eilu Dolkim Umkoimon, whilst he would leave these two lamps on the most eastward part of the menorah, he would leave those alit. Metzon Shekovu, if he found that those two lights had been extinguished already, then Medashnon, which literally means he would clean them out, but this would not be part of the cleaning process of these two lamps. That was done as the second part, slightly later on. Rather, he would clean off just the top parts of the wicks, if there were ashes which were preventing it from being lit again. And he did that in order that Umadlikon, he would be able to relight these two lamps, Min Hadolkim, from the other lamps if they are still alight, or if none of those are alight, then he would obtain fire from the Mizbeach, and he would use that fire to light these two lamps. And then he does the first part of the cleaning process of properly cleaning out the other lamps fully. And the reason why we wanted those two lamps to be alight whilst he cleaned the five lamps is so that it would be recognizable that he's splitting the cleaning process into two. Only later on, after the Korban Torban has been offered up, will he come to clean out the remaining two lamps, as the Mishnah in the sixth parak will continue to describe. The Evan Hoysel Lifnei HaMenorah, there was a stone in front of the Menorah, Voshalosh Malos, it was split into three steps, She'oleho HaKoyin Omed Umeit Vezaneiros, that the Kohen would stand on those three steps whilst he cleaned out the lamps. The height of the Menorah was roughly the same height as a person, as the Kohen himself. So we need to be slightly higher in order to clean it out properly. And he placed the jug into which he had placed the ashes on the second step of these three stone steps for Yotza, and he left the Heichel. Paridal Mishnah Aleph. The procedure now continues with the offering of the Korban Tomid, beginning from the slaughtering of that sheep. We've already seen how the sheep was examined just before it was slaughtered, and now the Mishnah goes to describe how exactly it was slaughtered. Lo hayu kovsin esatoleh. They would not tie the legs of the animal in the regular way of tying. That either refers to tying all of the four legs together, or by tying the two front legs together, and the two back legs together. This was not the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, because that was the practice of the idolaters when they brought a sacrifice for their idol. Rather, et ma'akden oisai. They would rather tie the legs in a similar way to how Akedas Yitzchak was performed. When Avraham Avinu was going to slaughter his son Yitzchak, he tied Yitzchak's right hand with his right leg, and his left hand with his left foot. And likewise, the sheep's front right leg would be tied with its back right leg, and its front left leg would be tied with its back left leg. This was also a way of bringing a remembrance to Akedas Yitzchak, which is a great merit for the Jewish people, being descendants of Avraham Avinu, who passed that great difficult test. Mishnah Zoche BaEvarim, the six Kohanim who received the job of transporting the limbs of this Korban Tomid to the ramp of the Mizbeach, which they will do in the next Mishnah, the next two Mishnahs will describe. They also assisted in the slaughtering by Oichzenboi, by holding on to the animal whilst it would be slaughtered so that it wouldn't move about. And this is how the animal was positioned for slaughtering. Roshul Adoraim, its top half was in the southward direction, so that if the animal would excuse itself whilst being slaughtered in fright, then that would not be in the direction of the Mizbeach. It would be in the opposite direction. Ufon of Lamarov, and the actual face, the head of the sheep, was positioned to face the Heichel, which is the holier part of the Beis HaMikdash, and this requirement is learnt from Pesukim. Hashechet Omer Mizrach, the one who is slaughtering the animal, stands on the east side of the animal, which means that he's effectively standing behind the animal, meaning on the side of the animal, but behind its head, because the head is facing towards the east. The Fon of Lamarov, and the person slaughtering would be facing the east towards the animal. Shel Shachar, the Korban Tomid, this daily sacrifice which was offered up in the morning. Remember, the Korban Tomid was offered up not only in the morning, but also in the afternoon. And there is a requirement that it be slaughtered near to the Mizbeach. And as well as that, there's a requirement that it be in the sun as opposed to the shade. Remember, this is occurring in the court of the Beis HaMikdash, which didn't have a roof on top of it. It was in the sun. Now, because the sun is in different positions in the morning and in the afternoon, the animal was positioned in different places to correspond to that difference. And the Mishnah tells us that the Korban Tomid, which was slaughtered in the morning, was slaughtered in the northwest corner of the area next to the Mizbeach designated for slaughtering Korbanos. This area, as we learned in the previous perek, is called the Beis HaMitbachayim, and there was room for 6 rows of 4 rings in each row. These rings were sort of half rings stuck into the ground, that they would place the animal underneath these rings, and the ring would hold the animal in place while being slaughtered. This, in addition to the other kohanim holding on to the animal, were necessary. So we have this arrangement of 6 rows of 4 rings. In the northwest corner of this arrangement of rings, al tabas shniya, on the second ring along. So it was not on the row directly next to the mizbeach, but it was in the second row to being near to the mizbeach. On the east side, which was the side nearer to the heichal, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that is where the animal was slaughtered in the morning. Shalbein Harabayim, the korban tomid, the sacrifice which was offered up in the afternoon, ha'nishchal akeim mizrachis tefaynes, it was slaughtered on the northeast corner of the Beis HaMikdash, the area which had all these rings, al tabas shnia, on the second ring, meaning in the second row next to the mizbeach. It wasn't slaughtered on the road directly next to the mizbeach because there would be a shadow from the mizbeach itself. And like we mentioned, it was learned from Pesukim that it has to be slaughtered out in the sun. Shochet HaShochet, the one who was supposed to slaughter the animal, did so. V'kibel HaMakabel, the one who received the job of receiving the blood in a utensil and then throwing it onto the mizbeach, he would do so. Bolel Kar Mizrachis Tzafonis, he would then come to the northeast corner of the mizbeach, V'noisei Mizrachis Tzafonah, and he would apply the blood on the mizbeach by throwing it on both of those sides. He would throw it on the corner of the mizbeach, making sure that the blood would be applied to both sides. The corner of both sides, but it would be on both walls of the mizbeach, and then Ma'arovis Jeremis, he would go to the opposite corner, the southwest corner of the mizbeach, Venus Ma'arov Jeremis, and apply the blood on that corner such that it will end up going on both of those walls as well, and in this way, blood will have been applied to all 4 of the walls of the mizbeach. On the edge of each of those 4 walls. Shara Hadam, any remaining blood, her Shefech al-Soderomi, he would pour on the southern side of the base of the Mizbeach. At the bottom of the Mizbeach was a base which protruded outward slightly by 1 amar. And he would pour the blood over there, and it would go into drains, end up going through the channel which went through the courtyard of the Mizbeach, the channel of water, and it would be washed out that way. Mishnah Beis, the next 2 Mishnayos talk about the taking apart of the animal and the transporting of each of these individual parts to the ramp of the Mizbeach. Lo ha-shovei bo'es ha-regel, they wouldn't break the bottom part of the animal's leg, which is the regular way that butchers would begin the skinning process of the animal. Elo noikvim tocha kuvoi, rather they would make a hole in the lower knee of the animal, the toile boy, and hang the animal from that point on the hook of one of the pillars which stood in the area of the Beis HaMikdash, like the previous perek described. So the animal would be hanging upside down from the lower knee of the animal, and he would start to skin the animal, taking off its skin, going down the animal towards its body from its legs, until he reaches the area of the chest of the animal. Once he reached the area of the breast, now most of the limbs of the body he would be able to take apart. He used a knife to cut the head off of the animal whilst it still had its skin on it. The skin was not taken off of the head. It would be burnt on the mizbeach like that. And he gave the head to the kohen who received the job of transporting the head to the ramp of the mizbeach. He then cut the 2 feet of the animal off. And he gave those feet, the 4 feet, to the kohanim who received the job of transporting those to the ramp of the mizbeach. The feet included also the lowest part of the leg. Mirakas Ahevshut, at this point he completed the skinning of the animal. He took off all of the skin. Koras Alev, he tore open the heart, Vaitzias Domai, and took out all of its blood. The truth is, many understand that the Kohen will not do this at this point because it was still difficult to access the heart. So some understand this is only done later on in the process, even though the Mishnah itself records it over here. He cut off the two front legs, the top part of the legs, that which is still remaining, and he gave those to the Kohanim who received the job of transporting them to the ramp. Then he goes up with the knife to the right leg, the right back leg, and he cuts that off, and he gives that right back leg to the Kohen who received the job of taking it, and the two testicles of the animal would be still attached to that right leg, and they would be offered up on the Mizbeach together with the right leg. He now tore open the rest of the animal in order to be able to access the other limbs. And at this point, all of the insides of the animal are revealed in front of him. He takes the layer of fat, which covers the area of the body where the stomach is and a few other limbs in that system, and he places it on top of the area of the head of the animal where the slaughtering took place. To cover that area, the fat is used, it's placed on there, and the head, together with that fat, is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach altogether. Then he takes the intestines of the animal, and he gives those to the Kohen who got the job of transporting them to the Mizbeach, lahadichon, for him to wash the intestines out, and the stomach of the animal they would wash in a chamber designated for washing. They had to wash it all that was necessary for it to be properly clean. And the intestines, which the Mishnah implies, was not taken to the chamber to wash, rather it was washed over there, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash itself. They would wash the intestines at least 3 times to make sure that they were cleaned properly. On the marble tables which stood in between the pillars in the courtyard itself, whereas the stomach was washed in the chamber. He took the knife, the hivish, the remen akoved, and he separated the lungs from the liver, the etzba akoved min akoved, and the particular part of the liver he also separated from the liver, because that part would be burnt on the mizbeach separately from the liver itself. But he wouldn't yet move this piece of liver which was taken off, he wouldn't give it to anybody, because it would be offered on the mizbeach together with another part of the animal which hadn't yet been cut off. So he would wait until he cut off that other part and give both of them together to the Kohen for him to be able to take to the ramp. He made a hole around the breast of the animal and he gave the breast of the animal to the Kohen who received the job of taking it. He then went up with the knife to the right side of the animal. The Dofen refers to the whole side of the animal on the side of the rib cage, all of the flesh which is there. So on the right side of the animal, he would cut all of that part of the animal until he reached the spine. He wouldn't touch the spine, because the spine needs to be offered up together with the left side of the animal. Rather, he would continue cutting until he reached the two soft ribs, which are at the top of the rib cage nearest to the neck. And the truth is, he would also leave out the two of the other ribs on the other end of the rib cage. But all of the other parts of the rib cage was cut off with the right part of the animal's body, and Chatocha, he made this big cut, and he gave this whole part of the animal to the Kohen who received that job of taking it to the ramp of the Mizbeach. And the liver would be hanging from that part of the animal. Then he came to the neck of the animal. He would make sure to leave with the neck the two top ribs of the rib cage, which had been left there not yet cut from the right side of the animal, and the left side of the animal hadn't yet been cut off. So the two top ribs of the rib cage on the left side, he would cut those also together with the neck. He would cut all of that on the son of Misha Zachabar, and he gave that part of the animal, the neck with the two top ribs on the right and left side, to the Kohen, who would have to transport that to the ramp of the Mizbeach. And the windpipe and the heart and the lung of the animal, the lungs, they were tied, they were hanging from the neck. And one Kohen would take all of that. Now he comes to the left side of the animal. and he would leave the two highest ribs, although over here we're talking about the two lowest ribs in terms of the animal, but because the animal was hanging upside down, they would be positioned higher. So this refers to the two bottom ribs of the rib cage. They would be left as part of the body, but the rest of the left side of the animal, he would cut off. And there would also be two of the soft ribs, which were on the bottom. These were the ones nearest to the neck. Those would not be cut with the left side, because those were already cut off as part of the neck. And he would leave exactly the same things on the right side, like the Mishnah already described. Nimtzo, it emerges that maniach b'shteyen, he leaves on both the right and the left side of the animal. He leaves not cut with those two sides. Shtayim shtayim l'malon, two ribs on each side at the top, or shtayim shtayim l'maton, and two ribs on each side at the bottom, like we've already described. Because those two pairs of ribs were cut either with the neck or with the lower part of the animal, like the Mishnah will go on to describe. Chatocha, he cut off the entire left side of the animal, of course without the two top or bottom ribs, but the rest of the ribs on the left side he would cut with that, and he gave that to the Kohen who got the job of transporting that to the ramp. Vashidra imar, and the spine of the animal was taken with the left side of the animal. Vatchol toluba, and the spleen, which is a particular organ in the body, would be hanging from this part of the body as well. Vihyosa gadoila, and the left side of the animal was larger than the right side because the whole spine was attached to it. Eloshal yomin kohen gadoila, however, they would call the right side the greater or more significant side, because the liver was tied, was hanging from there, and that's considered to be a very significant part of the body. Then the Kohen comes to the part of the animal at the back, at the bottom of the spine, he would cut that, and he would give it to the one who merited to take it to the ramp. And the fat of the tail, the etzba hakoved, and the part of the liver which had been cut off, and the two kidneys, all of those were with this part of the animal. Notal regal hasmolis and insolim ishazochaboy. He would then finally take the left leg, the back left leg, and give it to the Kohen who merited to take that to the ramp of the Mizbeach. And nimtzu kulon omni bashura. We now have all of the Kohenim who merited to take limbs to the ramp of the Mizbeach standing in one line, v'hayvarim b'yodom, and each of them are holding on to limbs. And now the Mishnah will describe which Kohanim took which limbs together. Harishon Brosh Varegel, the first Kohen was holding on to the head and the back right leg. Harosh B'Mino, he would hold on to the head with his right hand because it was more significant. V'chot me'kap klapi zeroyoy, and the nose of the animal faced the direction of the arm of the Kohen. It faced towards the body of the Kohen so that it wouldn't be visible from somebody looking towards the Kohen. It wouldn't be really visible at all because that's more of a respectable way of taking the head of the animal, the kind of binetz ba'isov, and the horns of the animal would be in between the fingers of the koyein, ubeishchitosim elamalon, and the part of the head where the slaughtering took place, at the bottom of the head, that part would be facing upwards, but the hapedo nosan aleha, there was a layer of fat which had been spread over it, like we described earlier on. The haregel shidon mismoiloi, and the right back leg was in the koyein's left hand, ubeish erlachutz, and the part of the animal where the skin is peeled off, as opposed to the side where the cut is made, that is the side which can be visible from the outside, because, again, that's more of a respectable manner to transport it in the Beis HaMikdash. Hasheni, the second Kohen, b'shtei yadayim, he would hold on to the two front legs of the animal, shalyom b'minoi v'shal smol b'smoiloi. The front right leg would be in his right hand, and the front left leg would be in his left hand, and the area of the legs where the skin was peeled off, as opposed to the area where the limb had been cut, that was the area which could be seen visibly from the outside. Hashanishi, the third coin, Bo'iketz Voregel, he would be holding on to the part of the body which was at the back of the animal at the bottom of the spine, as well as the back left leg. Ho'iketz B'minoi, he would hold on to the bottom of the spine, that area of the body, with his right hand. Vo'alyon middle delas b'netz Bo'isov, and the fat of the tail would be dangling downwards in between the Kohen's fingers whilst he's holding on to this part of the animal. And the small part of the liver which was cut off, as well as the two kidneys, would be with that in that same hand. And The back left leg was held with his left hand, Ubisar Lachutz, and the part where the skin had been peeled off, that was the bit which was visible from the outside. Harvi, the fourth kohen, Bechazav Ageir, he held onto the breast and the neck of the animal, Hechazabi Minoi, the breast was in his right hand, Vageir Bismoile, and the neck was in his left hand, Hetzal Esa Benetz Be'esav, and the ribs, which were attached to the neck, would be hanging in between the kohen's fingers, Hachamishi, the fifth kohen, Bishtei Defonais, he would be holding on to the two sides of the animal, Shalom Bisbiminoi, the right side of the animal he would hold in his right hand, Rashal Smol Bismoiloi, and he would be holding on to the left side of the animal, that part of the animal, the body, in his left hand, Ubisar Lachutz. And once again, it's the area where the skin was peeled that would be visible from the outside. Hashishi, the sixth kohen, Bekravaim, and Asun Babozech, he would be holding on to the intestines, which were now in a container, some kind of large gold spoon. Ukra'ayim, and the 4 feet of the animal, Al-Gabehem, were on top of the intestines, with the mala on top of them, Vashvi Basoiles. There would be a seventh kohen who would be holding on to flour for the flour offering which would accompany the korban tomid, Hashemini Bachavitin. There would be an eighth kohen holding on to the loaves of the Minchas Chavitin, which was a offering of loaves made from flour which the kohen gadol had to bring each day, Hatashi Bayayin. A ninth kohen was holding on to wine, which would be poured on the Mizbeach to accompany the offering of this korban, and Holchun, Osana Michatz Kevesh and Matam Ma'aravai. All of these nine kohanim would go and place that which they are holding on the lower half of the ramp, on the west side, umulachum, and they would salt them, which is the requirement for any part of the animal which is going to be burnt on the mizbeach, the yordu, bol, hem, lishkas, agozis, likreis, es, shema, and then they went to the lishkas, agozis, a particular chamber in the Beis HaMikdash, where they would go to read shema with the other kohanim, as the next perek will describe.